Good morning, everyone. How we doing? Let's see. My name is David Miles. Oh, there I am. Wow. Okay, I got this little weird things on the back of my head, too. I'm privileged to be one of the pastors here at New Hope and to serve with a great team of directors and staff who so genuinely love and pray for this body. And so excited this morning to open up God's word for us to celebrate our disability awareness. I oversee life groups, and as you've heard, Nick made note of this, we're journeying towards Jesus and taking others with us. In life groups, we like to say that we're celebrating Christ, doing this by celebrating Christ, connecting with people and contributing to others. And so today, we have an opportunity to open up God's word and jump into this. As Nick noted, next week is our new series. Even right now, they're doing Life Group in a Box. They're passing those out in Sandburg. If you want to know more, if you want to invite, if you want to gather some friends and say, hey, we're doing mental illness, you want to come with me with a cup of coffee, let's do that. Feel free to contact myself or Katie Peterson. Go online and love to get you a box to get together with some friends and do that. I love the fact that that we can call New Hope our church family. It's a biblical thing to do because the Bible talks about us being a family. In Ephesians 3:14, it says, I thank the God and Father from every family on heaven is named. But another picture, another word that's used in the Bible to describe us is a body. And the body is an amazing thing. I want to tell you a couple of things about the human body. If you're an average adult this morning of average weight, that's not me, but I am an average adult. Here's what you can accomplish in 24 hours. Your heart beats 103,689 times. Your blood travels 168 million miles. You breathe over 23,000 times. You inhale 438 cubic feet of air. You eat, this varies from time to time, 3.25 pounds of food. You drank 2.9 quarts of water. You lose 7/8 of a pound of waste. Something's wrong with that equation. All right, we're taking. That's how you got here. All right. You speak 4,800 words. Some speak more, and some speak less. You move 750 muscles. Your nail grows at 0.00046 inches. Your hair grows at 0.01714. Man, I'm losing out on this whole chart thing. it's not growing. All right? You exercise 7 million brain cells. But not only that, your mouth produces over a quart of saliva each day. Listen to this. Information zones along nerves in your body at 400 kilometers an hour. But if we want to go miles per hour, that's 248 miles an hour. That's how fast those impulses go. And if you were to lay end to end an adult's blood vessels, it would circle the Earth's equator 4 times. The human body is amazing. We even use idioms when we're discussing. So if we're paying attention to someone while they're listening, we're saying to that person, listen, I'm all ears, all right? If we're wanting to wish someone good luck on something that we're doing, we tell them to go and break a leg. That's right, that's right. If something is very expensive, we say it costs an arm and a leg, all right? If you help someone to do something, you're giving them a... If you get an early start on something, you're getting a head... If you want to relax or have fun, you let your... Really? No love for the bald people, I guess. I don't ever get to say that one. I'm going to let my hair down. Let my goatee. I can't even say that. Come on. And if you agree with someone, you are saying that we see... This morning, we're going to be in the book of 1 Corinthians. That was our passage for this disability service on putting our voice to God's love. And if you have it, turn to chapter 12 in 1 Corinthians. And as you're turning there, this last thing we said about seeing eye to eye. In the book of 1 Corinthians, that's actually something that wasn't going on. There was this issue called division that was happening in the church. It happens in chapter 1 and chapter 6, chapter 11. You have the situation where people were following the leader of their choice. Some said, I'm following Paul. Some say, I'm following Apollos. Some say, I'm following Cephas. Not only that, but they had this issue of sexual immorality that was going on. They had an issue of not waiting for one another when they came to eat at the Lord's table. And then they had this big split over spiritual gifts. And what's interesting is that this church is having some issues. Say issues. And even though it's experiencing these many problems, it's interesting how Paul, the Apostle Paul, starts off the book of 1 Corinthians. He addresses the Corinthians as those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. And as we said earlier, we likewise, even though we got issues, the Bible tells us that though we've been marred by the fall, that God still says that we are wonderfully and fearfully made. As we celebrated last week, that God so loved the world that he sent his only son to shed his eternal blood for each one of us to the glory of God. And in this, instead of division, God desires unity. We see unity in the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And God is the source of grace. In verses 4 through 6 of chapter 12, of grace, gifts, ministries, and activities. And it says here that the spiritual body is the church, and that God saves us and he gives us spiritual gifts to use for the edification and the building up of Christ's body. Now, Paul makes it very clear that each Christian has the gift of the Spirit of God, chapter 12, verse 3, that we receive upon salvation. That he gives that to us. If you want a little bit further, go Ephesians 1, 13 through 14. And that each believer has at least one spiritual gift. He goes on in verse 14 to say, we share, we who have been redeemed by Christ, we share the same baptism. What it means is that whenever a sinner trusts Christ, he or she is made a part of that same body by the operation of the Holy Spirit. So each one of us have a place that we fit in. And we're going to look at this morning. So I want to invite you to grab your Bibles. I want you to stand as we read 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to start in verse 18. I'll be reading in the ESV. When you get there, say amen. All right. But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chooses. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts we treat with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. And if one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individual members of it. Won't you go ahead and be seated? Amen. And let us pray together. Heavenly Father, it's so incredible to even think that we have an opportunity to be a part of you. That's the beauty of Christ. Because the Bible says that God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us in order that we might become the righteousness of God. That Christ did what we could not do in and of ourselves. And instead of just leaving us there, Lord, you call us to yourself. You call us to be a part of a body. You give good gifts to build up that body. and you call us to be on mission with you in the neighborhoods, in the nations. And so this morning, Lord, open our eyes more clearly to your word to clearly see how, God, you have arranged this and how you have composed it for your purposes and for your glory. Thank you for my brothers and sisters. Pray for Pastor Matthew and Miss Krista as they're traveling. Pray for our teachers downstairs and other parts of the campus that are instructing people in this wonderful gospel that we have. Pray for fellow brothers and sisters in Christ that are ministering in other churches throughout the city today. That as Nick pointed out, that new life would come in Jesus' name in many places throughout the Twin Cities for the glory of your name. And we ask this in Jesus' name, and the church said, amen. So this morning we're going to see how God arranges things. We're also going to see how God musically composes things. So in our first little move together, we see that God is going to arrange his body with intentionality, with interdependency, and with indispensability. With intentionality, look at verse 18 with me. But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them, as he chose. I feel like I'm saying choose is wrong. Does that come right? Chose, as he chose. Dr. Young, it's an error, it's a past tense. As he chose, right? Thank you. All right. If all were a single member, where would the body be? This clearly states out that it is God who arranges his body. This is the same word that's used in Acts chapter 1, verse 7, when the disciples come after Jesus has been resurrected and they say, hey, Jesus, when are you going to restore the kingdom back to us? When are you going to put us in charge? And Jesus says, it is not for you to know or to determine the times and seasons. That's left for God the Father. But you are to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. God's letting us know here that whatever God gives us is purposeful. It's a gift that our good Father has given. And some of you may look around, and sometimes we look around and we see someone else with a gift or something else that they're doing, and we say to ourselves, oh, I want that. I want that. I want to do that. And sometimes we may feel like we have a gift or a responsibility, and we're like, I don't like that. Because sometimes I feel I have to step in moments and say things in love, but it's a little bit hard. This gift kind of stretches me beyond myself. But whatever God gives you is purposeful, not because it's a difficult gift, but it's because it's something to be used. It's something which gives God glory. It's something which builds up the body. See, earlier in chapter 12, the Bible says this, that we were saved by the same Spirit. Verse 4 says, now there are varieties of gift, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activity, but the same God who empowers them all and everyone. In those three verses, we see this beautiful picture of the Trinity, triunity. We see God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God exists in community with intentionality. And in the same way, he gives his body gifts with intentionality as well. Not only that, but he also gives it with interdependency. Look at verse 20. As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. This could be the nutshell. In a nutshell, this is the argument of this particular section. That there is many parts, yet one body. And then he goes on to explain, the eye can't say to the head, I have no need of you. Nor the head to the feet. Listen, your body is made up of many, many systems. You have your nervous system, your circulatory system, your muscular system, your lymphatic system, your skeletal system, and your immune systems. And the reality is that all of these systems are interdependent upon one another. In medical circles, they have a term for it. It's called, the nurses are going to love to go, like, Pastor David knew this term. Some things come by prayer and fasting. The word is homeostasis. It's the idea that there's balance in the body. And when there's not, we have a term called dis-ease. Our body has disease. It's out of ease. And so God has made not only our physical bodies to be interdependent, but he's also made the church to be interdependent. Paul then goes on to illustrate this. He says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Could you like imagine what that, I mean like notice the irony here. Could you imagine if my eyeball would have came jumping up the stage and landed on Pastor Ed? That would have probably been a less like bear hug. But I'm thinking, Ed, if that would have happened, this place would have cleared out. They would have been like, we ain't doing this. There's an absurdity to it. The eye is not going to say, hey, hand, no, I don't need you. Nor again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. What it's saying here is that these verses stress that no particular body member can declare to another part of the body, you have no value, you have no worth. Now, more than likely, a number of us aren't going to walk up to someone and just say, I don't need you, you know. But do we say, even though we wouldn't say to our differently abled brothers and sisters, I don't need you, do we functionally or practically say to them, I can learn something from you? Because we can. This is a reciprocal relationship. As Jordan was sharing, there is many things that God has taught her in her relationship with Sean. And God has given us as a body the privilege of doing this journey with one another. I need you. You need me. God has made us a family. The idea of the Lone Ranger solo Christian, that's not in the Bible. So God has made and arranged his body with intentionality, with interdependency, and with indispensability. Look at verse 22. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. Some of the terminology is used of, you know, unpresentable parts. We wear clothes. That's a good thing. Actually, sometimes I think that winter is evidence of the fall. Because seriously, what does the Bible say? That Adam and Eve, they were naked and not ashamed. You can't be naked when it's 50 degrees below zero. So ergo, winter is part of the fall. So, one of the things that we see is that the parts of our body that seem indispensable, we need those. This morning I'm talking, but literally with one little finger, Jeff Walsh and Cesar, in the AV booth, with one finger, you could not hear me as well. And those who are listening online could not hear me at all. And if Chris wanted to, he could flip off the camera and you wouldn't see me up there. To which some are saying, praise God. Listen. You know your family when you can play jokes on one another. Listen, in our body at New Hope, we are so blessed because we have so many different parts of people doing things. I mean, like, look, in the morning, you've had people who have greeted you warmly when you've come in here. We have an incredible facilities team who make our building beautiful and clean it and maintain it. There are people who plan the worship service. There are people who make sure equipment is working properly. We have people all over campuses teaching and serving and supplying other people. We have people who follow up with other people's needs. And there are people right now who through the week also have been praying faithfully for this ministry, for God's very best to come upon your life and for you to enter into truly journeying with Jesus. Not just knowing stuff about Jesus, but experientially knowing Jesus. See, one of the things is that sometimes we read scripture and the full weight of it doesn't hit. So Paul's saying, you have these parts of the body and some seem indispensable and some seem kind of cast away and some people think I have no need of you. It helps to understand that during that time in Roman society, they had this honor roll in the Roman colonies. So basically, they had two different classes of people. They had the curious honorum, which was the pecking order of people with power and dignity and access. The Roman senators were of this class. And then you had the other groups, the humiliores. These are people who didn't qualify because they weren't, you know, born to the right family or had the right education. They lacked wealth. And what's incredible here is that even though they experienced different things, like, for example, those who were part of the honorable class, there was various things that they could leverage with that access. And one of the things is that they were exempt from the death penalty. They couldn't do anything to experience the death penalty. But non-citizen people could be arrested, they could be beaten, they could be imprisoned. But it was an incredibly dangerous thing to do that to a Roman citizen. So stick with me for a moment. Can you imagine the astonishment? If we back up several verses in 1 Corinthians 12 to verse 13 when it says, "For we were all baptized by one spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slaves or free, we were all given one spirit to drink." That was mind-boggling to the people who are hearing this. That we were made one body. And listen, those with disabilities, as we've seen this morning, they give incredible praise. We are blessed to share the same air and space. I was meeting with Pastor Ed, we were talking about this, and I remember him saying to me, he said, as New Hope moves forward regarding being a multi-tribal community, we must recognize disability ministry participants as, there's that word, indispensable members of the body of Christ. Hear me clear. We are a multi-tribal community of people that is moving towards Jesus and taking others with us. That's our DNA. That's who we are. And because of that, people with disabilities, they are part of the body of Christ. They are not a project. They are image bearers. That we are called to learn from. We need each other. And the families need you. They need you to come alongside, to encourage, to give them breaks, to have a potluck that's sensitive on time and space and invite us to share life with each other because they're indispensable. If God has arranged us with intentionality, interdependency, and indispensability, how are we to respond? I'm glad you asked. Go to verse 24. God composed his body to give greater honor to the lesser, to display unity and not division, and to care for each other. Let's do verse 24. To give greater honor, we need to realize that we need each other. So look, but God has so composed the body. Like literally God has made music with our response. You see, I'm grateful for Ed and Nan and for others for making this a reality that we can do life together with our brothers and sisters with disabilities. Because listen, it's an honor to do this because part of giving honor is living a Philippians 2 life. In that, Paul says to the Philippians, if you have any joy, if you have any encouragement, if there's anything wonderful, have the same mind, be of one accord. And then guess what? He picks Jesus. If there was ever a person in the Roman colony who was at the very, very top of the pecking order, it's Jesus. And yet the Bible says in Mark 10:45 that the Son of Man, Jesus said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. You see, in living in an all-tribal community church, we have to make room. We have to realize this small little thing, that it's not all about us. And in making Christ known, and by making room at the table, we invite others to come, and as the psalmist said, taste and see that the Lord is good. Okay, I know your version doesn't say that. That's Pastor David's version. All right. Taste and see that the Lord is good. That requires, though, going back to this image of the body, a symbiotic relationship. When you have a symbiotic relationship of growth, that is something that occurs between two organisms where both benefit. Now, the opposite of that is parasitic growth, in which one organism is feeding off the other organism. So this morning, at times, because Christ has saved us, if you're saved this morning and God has given you a spiritual gift to use in the body for the building up of the body, Ephesians 4, 11 through 16, this passage, 1 Peter 4:10, and other places, Hebrews 12, Christians must ask themselves, how are we functioning in the organism of the body of Christ? To ask, am I a spiritual parasite? Do I just say, sing to me, preach to me, pray for me, counsel me, help me, but expect nothing from me? This is a parasite. You see, a Christian interested in a symbiotic growth relationship says, yes, I have needs, but I'm willing as well to give to, because everyone needs to benefit. Okay? This idea of giving greater honor to what seems to be lesser, because sometimes things aren't what they seem. Earlier in chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians, the Lord talks about God's wisdom versus the foolishness of man. That it would seem foolish that God works through weakness. It would seem foolish that God works through his Son dying on a cross. But in it, as Romans 1 says, it's the power of God unto salvation. See, at times, those that seem to be disabled really are the abled. And those who think they are abled are really the disabled. I love being in the friendship class. There's this purity to prayer. There's this unpretentiousness. There's this non-beep, beep, 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 backing up and dumping of Christianese. They're just like, God, show up in my life. God, work in my PCA's life. God, help Ed and Nan. God, let me be a blessing to someone today. God, help me to better deal with this. And we can learn from that. So with that in mind, you and I this morning, we are blessed to be celebrating Disability Awareness Sunday. But more than just celebrating a Sunday, we are blessed to be a part of this body where we learn to give honor to one another. Going back to Philippians, guys, Philippians chapter 2, we see that in this passage, Jesus, he condescended to earth in the incarnation to transform and to restore what was lesser, us, due to the fall, to someone greater. John 1:12 says this, but to all who did receive Jesus, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. You see, we've been given the divine opportunity to learn patience and love. We've been given the ability and the privilege of learning from our brothers and sisters who have various disabilities, PDD, NOS, Asperger's, autism, cerebral palsy, Downs, among others. But hear me clear on this. Listen, disability does not mean no ability. There's a reciprocal relationship. Because the truth of the matter, we had no ability. And yet, Christ and his ability made it possible for us to have a relationship. And I'm glad. I'm glad that while I was a sinner, Romans 5:8, that Christ died for me. Let me put it in a term that we understand. I'm glad that in my ability that I was non-sufficient funds, maxed out on my credit cards, no money in the bank, and I had offended the five families of the mafia with a $2 trillion debt. And in that spiritual state with nothing to go on, when everyone is heading the opposite direction, the Bible says that in that, Christ died for us. So we've been composed to give greater honor. We've been composed to display unity and not division. Verse 25, that there may be no division, or that word schism, in the body. Listen, trouble with one organ affects the whole. How many of you guys have ever had a hammer in one hand? You're not exactly sure how it happened, but the end of that hammer head connected with your thumb. Right? Anyone done that? Okay. And what do you normally do? You say things like, oh, that's my thumb. No. Your thumb's been affected, and the rest of your body vocally joins in. Because what happens to one part affects the rest of us. Because our systems are interdependent. They have a unity to them. And because our body is made up of families with special needs, our hearts will be tuned to their journey as well, because we are family, right? I got all my brothers and sisters with me. Amen? But all we're doing is walking in what God does. We said it early. God operates in the Trinity, triunity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We live in community, which is common unity. That's where we get the word community from. And the truth of the matter is that Jesus, in his high priestly prayer, prayed that we would be one, so that the world would believe that the Father had sent him, and so that the world would know that the Father has loved him and loved us, called us in to community. All right. But it's not just enough to simply avoid division. Brings us to our last part as we head home here. We've been composed to care for each other. It says, but that the members may have the same care for one another. The idea is that we should sympathize with each other. That in the human body, the weakness or pain of one member affects the other members. This is true for us as well. That's why when we hear about hurts and triumphs in the body of Christ throughout the world, we can be encouraged. Looking forward to hearing how God worked as Pastor Matthew and Miss Krista were over in Europe. But listen also, when the body is hurt by hurricanes in Haiti or persecution in the 1040 window, we feel that. I need to say this clear. Listen, there are no throwaway places or people regarding the body of Christ on God's planet. Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, the world and all who live in it. We cannot call parts of the body of Christ and where they're at refuge, garbage, or excrement. Not if you believe in the body of Christ. You see, when a fellow believer is beheaded for their faith, it ought to affect the body. When a natural disaster hits our brothers and sisters in Christ and other image bearers, it ought to move our heart. And when our brothers and sisters in Christ are referenced to as inhabitants of language that I'm not supposed to use, we who are part of the universal body of Christ should be bothered, because biblically speaking, they're family. Listen. Nick in Christ is more my brother than an unsaved member of my family. It's true that blood is thicker than water, especially with Christ's blood. So whether that be Russian, Somalian, Peruvian, Indonesian, that is our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we are called, Galatians 6:2, to bear one another's burdens and to fulfill the law of Christ. You know what's incredible about this? As we look at Disability Awareness Sunday, we actually do that every Sunday. Because the truth of the matter, all of us are disabled in our ability to enter God's kingdom. That we don't have a righteousness unto ourselves. As said earlier, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us in order that we might become the righteousness of God. Why? This is a conversation that I had with a guy this week on the street that had come to help me with some stuff regarding a house. His name is Tim. Pray for Tim. God don't know who he is. And we were talking, and I'm like, Tim, the Bible says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And again, Pastor David's definition of all is all means all, and that's all that all means. All have sinned. But while the wages of sin is death, the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. And if you don't know him this morning, if you're not a part of this body, Christ is sending out a call to you saying, come home. This past week, we remembered the assassination, 50-year anniversary of the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., on April 4th. And in a message that he gave called The Drum Major Instinct, he made this important point of understanding, because sometimes when we're sitting here, we're thinking, all right, I see the video, I see people involved, I see brothers and sisters here. What can I do? I mean, like, I don't know if I have all the credentials. I don't know if I, fill in the blank, whatever goes across the clothesline of your mind. But I love this, because King says, regarding Jesus, he said, Jesus gave us a new norm of greatness. If you want to be important, wonderful. If you want to be recognized, wonderful. If you want to be great, wonderful. But recognize that according to Jesus, he who is greatest among you shall be your servant. That's a new definition of greatness. And this morning, the thing I like about it is this. By giving that definition of greatness, it means that everybody can be great because everybody can serve. You don't have to have a college degree to serve. You don't need to make your subject and your verb agree to serve. You don't have to know about Plato and Aristotle to serve. You don't have to know Einstein's theory of relativity to serve. You don't need to know the second theory of thermodynamics and physics to serve. You only need a heart full of grace and a soul generated by love, and you can be a servant. And how much more for the body of Christ? When 2 Corinthians 5:14 says, for the love of God compels us. The NIV says, controls us. Another version says, constrains us. Because we believe that one died for all. And having died for all, those who live, we don't live for ourselves, but for the one who lived and died for us. And then it goes on to say, Paul says, I used to look at people with human eyes. But for those who are in Christ, they're a new creation. God lives inside of us to help us to see one another in ways in which God has made us in his image and sent his son to die for us. Listen, you, New Hope, are the body of Christ. You're one body arranged with intentionality, with interdependency, and indispensability. And yet, though we are many unique parts, God composed us to give honor, to display unity, and to care for each other to the glory of God. Let's pray. Amen, sister. Father God, thank you so much for, as Ephesians talks about, your incredible wisdom and the purpose of your will. Lord, thank you. As Nick said earlier, we're 1 week out of Easter. And honestly, God, the Bible says that the mystery of salvation was something that the angels, the created unsinning angels, longed to look into It was that incredible. And in that, you've given us life in your Son, but not just to sit around. You've given us the joy of being on mission with you, of living this incredible life, of watching you transform and work in and through people's eyes right in front of us in ways that we never could put in our personal planner, in ways that we never could have scripted for our life. And then giving us the privilege to love, to care, to walk with, to cry with, to labor with one another. So God, do this in us and through us by your grace, in your strength, for your glory, for eternity. And it's in Jesus' name we pray, and the church said, amen. God bless you. You are dismissed.